Good morning, HCC. This is Brendan Byrne here with you live Tuesday morning. It's a beautiful day. I am joined here with my guest. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Brendan.
Mike, I'm sure you have a last name, right, I assume? Or
yep.
Do you have a first name? Do you go like Madonna or Adele? why don't you tell everyone your full name,
just so all we right. can all right, Mike Callison.
Mike Callison, and where do you come from? What organization are you here representing today?
I am here with Adaptive Living.
Adaptive Living. Excellent. So, Mike, before we get into more about Adaptive Living, why don't you give us some background information on Mike? Let's get to know who you are.
Brendan, well, thanks again for having me here.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm actually a retired Air Force. I served in the Air Force for 23 years during Vietnam and Desert Storm. Then I went into private health care, and I was in private health care for 25 years and retired in 2017. And now I spend my time volunteering with this great organization called Adaptive Living.
All right. Excellent. So you said you were in the Air Force. Oh, wow. That's it's incredible. I can't imagine what that would have been like. My father served in the Navy, actually, during Vietnam. He was a nuke, I believe the phrase was coined. Did a lot of reactor work. So when did you start working with Adaptive Living?
We started back in 2015. We have a special needs daughter, and she had grown to the point where she needed to develop a little further, and I learned about the organization. And she joined in the housing program that we have, and I began volunteering.
Okay. So I guess for those who aren't really familiar with the organization, what does Adaptive Living do?
Oh, thanks. Well, we're a nonprofit. The official name is a 501c3, and we were formed in 1987. So we've been in the community now for almost 32 years.
Oh, wow.
And what we do is we really provide affordable housing, food, transportation for adults that have these developmental and cognitive disabilities. It's an area in this community that's so underserved. I mean, we have over 5,000 adults with developmental and cognitive disabilities, and we don't have near the housing that we need to help support them. And we're one of those organizations that's trying to do that.
That's very great. It's great to hear because it's kind of a section of society that for a number of years has just kind of gone overlooked. People had an expectation that just kind of keep them, people like that, in their homes and don't really let them experience the outside world. A kind of strange and sheltered perspective that I feel like we're finally starting to evolve and develop out of as a society.
That is correct.
I have an uncle who has a serious developmental disabilities. We had to put him in, I think it was an ARC organization down in St. Mary's County. But he, luckily, he's able to get all the care and assistance he needs there. And it's great that more organizations are getting recognized and getting funding and being able to help and stand in the community like that.
Well, thank you. You know, and to your point, when we have these adult individuals in the home, what we don't realize sometimes is as parents, we begin to age out. And if they haven't been taught these independent living skills, then if we pass unexpectedly, then they're put into a system and they're having to cope for themselves. Our goal is to not let that happen. And so when we bring them into our homes, we first want to create a safe living environment. People with these with cognitive and developmental disabilities are at risk probably more than you and I because it's harder for them to make good life decisions. And there are individuals out there that'll take advantage of them. So our first goal is that we've got to create a safe living environment for them. Then we need to teach them these independent living skills. Again, when they're with us in the home, parents just naturally compensate for some of their disabilities. When they are finally in an independent living environment with the guidance of our counselors, they really grow a lot more than they do in the home. It's just, it's natural, just like you and I, when we left home, you know, we had to learn to cook and do our own laundry, and that's what we teach these individuals. And also try to keep and get them into the community, and whether it's in some type of athletic endeavor, or whether it's just being more social, going to dances, you know, community-sponsored dances, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's sort of our goal, our mission in this.
So that sounds like the kind of work takes a lot of patience and experience. Like, what kind of training, I guess, would someone need to go through to be able to do that kind of work with the organization?
All of our counselors that come to us go through training with our director. We have a very experienced director. She's been with us almost from the beginning. And she takes them through, because you're right, learning to handle, not to handle, I guess that's not a really good word, but learning to teach and understand the individuals that we have in our homes, it takes a special talent. So with her leadership and guidance, we've been able to bring people on and teach them the skills that they need to be counselors for our residents.
So how big is the organization right now?
Well, currently, we have 3 homes, and okay. We only have 9 individuals. We have 3 individuals in each of those. And I say currently because we were established under a program called Project Home. And under that program, we weren't allowed to expand. And right now, we're in the process of making application because there is such a great need out there. We're making an application with the Maryland Department of Disabilities. And when we do that, we'll be able to grow the organization, providing services, providing additional homes, and hopefully help start to make a significant dent in the needs of the community.
That's great to hear. So do you have any sponsored events coming up, I guess? What kind of events does your organization maybe host or promote or get involved with?
Thank you. excuse me. Our organization gets about 60% of their funding through the Department of Human Resources and through HUD. And we then have to raise 40% of our operating budget through fundraisers, through grants. On our website, we'll post all of our activities that are coming up. We have dinners where the restaurants will give us a percentage of their proceeds. We always have an annual golf tournament that's out there. We look to the community to help us do this. We have a car donation program so that people can donate their vehicles to us, and we will take them to auction and give them the auction value of that vehicle. So that's what we do to try to help raise the money as a nonprofit. Money is getting tighter, and so it's getting more and more difficult as we go forward each year.
I imagine it's difficult trying to get the funds for, I mean, such an important organization like that. You know, maybe not enough people are really getting the word out or hearing about it, unfortunately. And that's just kind of the nature of things at the moment. But I'm glad to see that people are working to try to change that. You know, that seems like what adaptive living is really trying to do. So how long does the process of maybe getting someone acclimated and comfortable with those kind of living conditions really take? I know you talked about working with people to kind of help them maybe learn to live on their own.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, it depends on each individual.
Yeah.
Our goal is always independence. But as we work with the adults, and we've been successful to have residents come into our system and be able to go out and live independently. And then we've had residents that have been with us for over 30 years that will never be able to gain that kind of independence to live on their own. So it really kind of depends on that individual. What we're also seeing now, and it's new, is that as these individuals tend to age. And very often with the developmental and cognitive disabilities, they age a little different than maybe you or I would age. So when they reach their 50s, it would be probably equivalent to us physically aging up to the age of 70 to 80. So they're going to need additional care, additional support, and we're working now to create what we call an aging-in-place home. We don't want to have them pushed out into the community and not have the support that they've needed. We've been able to give them that support for the past 30 years. We need to take it to the next level and hopefully be able to support them to end of life.
That's good. I hope that the organization can definitely get there. So you said it's been about 30 years the organization
Yes.
has been established. So what really made you get involved with the organization? You said, was it your daughter?
Yes. That's when I first found out about it, is when we were looking for housing for our daughter. And then when I saw what they were doing and how they operated, it's an all-volunteer board. It's all volunteers that help run it. Our counselors and directors are paid for their time and efforts. But the rest of us really volunteer our time. So when it comes to helping maintain the houses, run the fundraisers, and to be a participants in the board, we really look to the community for volunteers. And we've got a good group of volunteers at the moment, but we always are looking for additional volunteers.
So how can people volunteer with the organization?
The best way is just to go to our website, adaptiveliving.net. And we have a section there where people who are interested can put their name in to volunteer with the group. We like to interview them and make sure that they're going to be a good fit for the organization. And then, you know, we welcome anyone and everyone.
So is there a training period for people who want to get involved and work with the organization?
Not so much training, but we look at experience and background and what our needs are. So we have some we have people that are volunteering with us now that are social workers. We have a retired businessman. We have a lawyer that has volunteered with us. So we have some really nice representation from our community, but we're, you know, we can still use help with accounting and bookkeeping and those types of things that help keep the organization running.
So I guess people like you who are working in the organization right now, do you all have maybe a vision or a hope for, I guess, the organization, like let's just say 5 years out from now, what would you like to see the organization be at that point?
Well, our greatest risk is that we have to raise so much capital as a fundraiser. So we want to become self-sufficient. And that's where we're working towards today, is becoming licensed with the Maryland Department of Disabilities. And when we do that, we'll be able to then add additional support and services, which then creates an income for us. And then we can become fully self-sufficient and not have to lean so heavily on the fundraising and the grants that we apply for each year.
So what needs to happen to help the organization get there? Is there anything anyone can do to help you all along?
Yeah, the application process is very extensive, and so we've started to lean on our volunteers to help collect this data and put everything together. So, yes, if someone has some experience in that area, we would welcome it with open arms.
Excellent. So do you have any upcoming fundraising events? I know we talked a little bit about that earlier, but is there anything immediate or around the corner coming
I don't
up?
Have the exact dates, but we get supported very well by Carrabba's in
okay.
And they and so we have dinners coming up usually every month or every other month, and they're posted on our website. I know we just had one on April 18th, and there will probably be one coming up in either May or June.
Okay. And one more time, for people who would like to get in contact with the organization and maybe reach out and help volunteer, how can they get in contact with you guys?
Again, the best way is through our website. We monitor that, and that's adaptiveliving.net.
All right, excellent. Michael, thank you, or Mike, I know you prefer. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to join me today to tell me about Adaptive Living. It's a very important organization that people should become more aware of, understand, and really get involved with. One last question I just wanted to ask before we leave for the day. What would you tell people who have a family member who have these kind of disabilities and don't really know where to start? This is a new realm for them. They're a little scared, a little nervous. They're not really sure what the first step they need to take is.
There are several organizations in our community that offer these types of services, adaptive living being one. Certainly go out and look at who is out there in the community. Look very closely at the housing. It's an important transition for their family member, and making sure that they can have the ability to live independently, you know, as they grow older.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Again, go check out the Adaptive Living website. And what's that one more time, Mike?
AdaptiveLiving.net.
All right. Excellent. All right, guys. This is Brendan Byrne out for the day. We will come at you again tomorrow with another interview. Enjoy the warm weather. It's finally summer. Spring and summer are finally here. We're rushing right into summer. I don't think there's really been a spring, to be, if we're being quite honest. And I will see you guys all tomorrow.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.